Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's just stolen some of Stuart Lee's links. It's Richard Herring. Hello. I smell horrible. I smell like a 14-year-old boy. Should make me very popular with most of my audience. Am I right, lads? Good. Wait a minute. Hello, my fine friends. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, though I was talking to Squirtle and Bulbasaur from Pokemon. My kids have got into Pokemon. They call it Rahulastopus. I don't know if that's... Welcome to... We were cancelled last week, the last 2 weeks, for the Queen's funeral. Both of the last 2 weeks' shows were cancelled. That's how much we respected her. But it's good to be back. I watched a bit of the Queen's funeral, and to pay my respects, I was off social media that day. My daughter watched it, and they weren't very impressed. And once they were sort of started wheeling around of the cathedral, and. My daughter said they should have made it a cartoon so kids would enjoy it. That's why it was good. But it was pretty close. It was as close to it. It was like sort of Mary Poppins, wasn't it? It was sort of a half live action, half cartoon, I would say. But there we go. Look, what have I got to tell you about? While I remember, my book, Can I Have My Ball Back, is out very soon, especially if you're listening at home. So I'd love it if you could... order that. If you go to waterstones.com, you can get one of 500 special signed editions, and I've really gone to town on some of those signed ones. They've all got a cock and a one bald ball sack on them, and one of them's going to win a special prize with one of them. Or equally, you can buy from gofasterstripe.com, and I think Chris Evans is working out some extra little exclusive bonus squeezy thing that you can buy with that as well if you want. So do that. Oh, I went to see Jurassic World. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's on at the XL. They've managed to clone... they've got the DNA of dinosaurs from out of mosquitoes, and they've made a world where you can go and see the dinosaurs. It's really good. They're living dinosaurs. It's very good. And I was assured it would be safe because, you know, they've been... If they'd ever done this before and anything gone wrong, you know, they would surely have learned their lesson. So I'm assuming it's fine. Though, embarrassingly, thank you to Simon Legg, who arranged tickets for me. I believe he might be in today. Hello. Embarrassingly, when we went round, something went wrong. And I was nearly eaten by Tyrannosaurus Rex. But it was... I'm sure that won't happen again. I mean, they will have learned their lesson from that, so you are safe to go. If you want to go there, I was quite impressed to see they used like one of the people that had a rod hole hand. I worked out how one of them worked. My daughter didn't realise. I said, "That's just a false hand." She said, "No, it's not. That's that." It's good to see that. Apparently, King Charles's bodyguards have false hands as well. Have you seen that? Don't quite understand how that works. What else have I got for you? The best thing in my life that happened is my show Relativity's out on Radio 4 at the moment. It's very good. And Dave Benson Phillips tweeted saying he'd enjoyed it. So that's about as good as it gets. It's about as good as it gets. I can retire happily now. Look, let's crack on. We've got an absolutely fantastic guest. As you know, he's probably best known as the Cockroach King. That's what he's best known for. Will you please welcome his third time here, I think, the incredible Bob Mortimer, ladies and gentlemen. He's here. There he is. Wow. I've been knocked over.
Hi, Richard.
Hello. Knocked over by the sound.
Hi, everyone.
Some of that's retrospectively for me, I think. I think some of that was... I think they just realised.
I've read your book. Can I just say, Richard? Yeah. I'm one of the... I don't know, lucky few or whatever, but I've read your book.
Yeah.
In the tiniest print.
Yeah, it's the real copy is bigger print, thankfully.
Yeah, and it's absolutely excellent, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I mean, it'll be no surprise to you, but it's got a great book. No, it's superb.
Oh, thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, it is.
I've read your book too, and I had it in a PDF, and it was the smallest possible print. Well, I got it on my Kindle because it's a PDF, and I'd worked out how you can email a PDF onto your Kindle.
Right.
But then, because it's a PDF, you'd either have to go every page and squeeze it up.
Yeah.
And it would go beyond the boundaries. I don't know, it's probably one of these IT nerds knows how to do this. But instead, I just read it in very small, right? Yeah. Like that. But it was good.
I just got a new laptop,
yeah.
And everything's white on a black background.
Okay.
That's very troubling for someone of mine. I don't know how you get that. Maybe someone else has suffered from it and we can start a little group or something.
I'm obsessed with
front door colours at the moment.
Yeah.
That would be shit, wouldn't it? I'm thinking of orange. Really, would anything be good in that colour? Yeah. Socks?
If someone weed against your front door, you wouldn't be able to tell. That's the only good thing about...
And a lot of people do, Richard, by way of passing comment. Unusual colour. That's an IPA, ladies and gentlemen.
That's very nice. Very nice. I'm sure we probably talked about you being the Cockroach King on one of your previous times here, but it's sort of slightly apt because you have written a novel, Bob. Let's talk about this straight away.
And how does that tie in with cockroaches?
Because you were the cockroach king when you were a lawyer or whatever you would call it. What was it, a legal man? You weren't a lawyer, were you?
That's
when
what,
you were
at university. I did legal men's studies. Do you want to be a legal man? Yes, I bloody do.
Good. That's what I thought. So. So you became known as the Cockroach King because you would help out all the people in bad housing.
Yeah, that was me little niche.
Yeah.
Was cockroaches. Because I was in South London and there was a big... the North Peckham Estates and so on, and they were completely infested with cockroaches. And I became like the man. because I took the first private prosecution against the council under the Public Health Act, and it was really nice, because one thing you can never do, I sometimes think in any of those sort of social work, legal aid things, is actually make a real difference.
Yeah.
It's just an elastoplast and you make a bit of dosh doing it. But with that one, when we got to court, they would say, oh, we'll rehouse. And that was lovely, because someone would say, I've got a new house. Because I went to see this moon-faced man. I went through a door, there he was, and I have a new house.
It's good.
So, it was a pleasant time.
Did you name yourself the Cockroach King? Or did
no, the people... South London Press did.
Right.
Hey! Cockroach King.
Do you fancy being king of the cockroaches? If you could have... It'd be quite... If all the cockroaches, you could snap your fingers and they could do your bidding...
This is a good subject, isn't it? What would you like best to be? Maybe king of the plasterers. Fucking cornice like that. You could charge a few bob, couldn't you?
Yeah, if they all had to do your bidding, like once or twice. I mean, I think like an animal. It's more fun if it's an animal that you have control, like supernatural control over. But they'll all come to you,
Reggio. Are you sure? Are you sure about? So I'm king of the buffalo.
Yeah.
So I'm in my 3-bed semi. Yeah. Come to me.
But you probably don't do it in your. Don't buffalo on your own doorstep. I think is probably the. You'd probably wait and wait. You'd be a situation. You'd be in trouble, and then you could go. Maybe you'd have a magic flute or just ungawa or something. And
yes.
Then there'd be a rumble.
Yes.
But if it was insects, I mean, I like insects because they'd come out of the, they'd sort of come and they could, you know, form into kind of big, like robots or something, and then cry. Cockroaches could go.
You're king of the insect robot hybrids.
Well, you can make them do whatever you want. So a thing like a cockroach, they're all, so you'd be like the Borg, wouldn't you? If you could control all the cockroaches, you could make them just go and bite someone, or you could make them. They could build themselves into something.
Do you believe cockroaches bite? Do you think they bite bits out of your arm and things? I don't
know. There's enough of them. I've been attacked by ladybirds. I wouldn't mind being the king of the ladybirds. Do you remember 76 when the ladybirds attacked? Did that happen in Middlesbrough?
That should be your book. Do you remember 1976 when the ladybirds became sentient?
They did. They attacked and they bite.
Yeah.
As I've said this before, but as a result of that happening to me when I was 8 or 9 years old, it was in the Edinburgh Fringe a few years later, and I met a girl who studied insects.
Yes.
And she was so impressed that I had been involved in that, being attacked by the ladybirds, that she had sex with me. So... So I was the king of the ladybirds that day.
That's a long shot, isn't it? To approach.
That's what we got talking about, and she was very impressed with me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've had quite a week. I tried out, I'm thinking about the week. We don't want to talk about anything in particular.
No, I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
One thing I was thinking just backstage, I got a conifer removed today. From the end of my drive.
Okay, all right, I thought it was a medical... What could the doctor
say? <Okay. laughs> Deciduous. There's different cues. Deciduous, evergreens. And so it was one of those that had been put in as a bit of an ornament, you know, like a Christmas tree, but it got to 25, 30 foot or something.
Yeah.
I thought I'd get rid of it. And then it was quite moving at the end, thinking you destroyed it. But I don't like conifers. The crunch.
Yeah. If you were king of the cockroaches, they could have taken that thing down for you, eaten it up. They'd have eaten the whole thing.
King of the conifers. Fucking hell. There's some soundproofing there, isn't there? Yeah, so that. And I did some test drives of cars the other
day. What are you going for?
Well...
What are you looking at?
I looked at the Range Rover Evoque.
Okay.
I thought it was shit. but the thing is I genuinely wanted to ask you about it.
Yeah.
Like, you go into the car sales room, he was a Scottish, but hello. Don't you like a cup of tea? I'm not. No. But you know they're going to rip the shit out of you, don't they? You're just trying to leave there with your pride intact.
I mean, that's car salesmen in general. You're not having to go at the Scottish ones.
Absolutely okay. not. They're some of the nicest. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the way I play the game is I test drive all their lovely cars, but then I go and buy one,
okay,
you know, in a local village.
Yeah.
And then drive past the dealership. Do you like car dealers? I think they're a particular type.
I don't particularly like them. I don't. And I'm the same. I don't like the. I just would like them to be sort of more honest at the get go with the prices and things.
Oh, but also, if it's a beautiful car.
Yeah.
Really?
What is that? Is that an electric Land Rover? Or is it no? Land Rover.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what it was.
It's worth checking.
I tried an Audi.
Yeah.
Audi were a lot more clinical. You know, it wasn't as relaxed.
Yeah.
As you want a car, I'll get you a car.
Yeah.
Jaguars, you may want a car. It could happen. Yeah. Sit down. Let's have a chat. Anyways, up. Sorry.
Yeah. So you haven't chosen.
Before. I have chosen.
Oh,
yeah.
You've chosen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bought a 2015 car.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. That's just what I settled on. I think I'll go for a 2015. Well,
it's a car from the before time, so, you know, that car was built before everything went to shit.
Shit, yeah.
So, you know, it should be reliable.
Yeah.
It'll probably last forever as a result.
Has everything gone to shit?
Everything's pretty much gone to shit, hasn't it?
But you mean, do you think it goes down? Like, my fridge door's fucked. And when you say that, I think, when did that start? Every morning, I don't know whether it's the cat or my fridge that's leaked onto the kitchen floor. Actually, I got it repaired. And that's a nice bit of advice. It was something to do with the seal round the door.
Yeah.
And it's just that sort of job. It's like, well, I'll get a new one. But I got someone in.
Yeah, to fix it.
To fix the seal on it.
That's sensible.
Yeah, but...
That's a good piece of advice.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
No, I'd just throw the whole fridge away in the garden. I would get someone to repair it. I wouldn't repair it myself.
But you would. You'd go through onto Yellow Pages and say fridge.
It's an expensive item, and also I'm conscious of the future of the world.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have too many white goods out there
leaking. Yeah.
Yeah. We should fix them if they're leaking, but then not buy another one. I think.
Yeah.
That's just.
That was my week, really.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good week. I've been out looking at dinosaurs. You should go, would you?
Have you?
Yeah, I went to Jurassic World. The Jurassic World's come to the XL. You would think...
like one of those mini-golf things?
It's like big... It'd be good if you could play mini-golf. You could think about adding that in, Simon. It's like big dinosaurs that look almost like real dinosaurs.
Right.
Apart from the one where the man's got his hand on top. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Has it blown your mind?
No, not really. But the kids enjoyed it, you know. So I think they were animatronic.
So is that your life now? If the kids have enjoyed it, I'm happy. Forget me.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a good time. It was free, so it was worth it.
So all the pleasure in your life is vicarious now.
I think it always was.
If it makes Stuart happy, I'm happy.
I was happier if he was happy, but it's. I don't think I talked about this to Pierre on his podcast, but I could never enjoy things in the moment, but I would enjoy things afterwards. So if I'm watching a play or something or a film, I often am not enjoying it at the time, but I'll think about it later and go, oh, yes, I did quite like it.
Yeah.
I'm sort of trying to get out, or if I'm having sex with someone, I'm thinking of the last person I had sex with before. And then going, I wish I was having sex with them. But it was also the case for that person. So you can never quite enjoy.
Do you go lap dancing, clubs?
No. I don't. Do you ever go lap dancing?
No, I've never been to one. I did go to one once. And I don't know. I was in Canada. You know that?
I mean, I got that out of you, didn't you? Say I've never been to one. I did go to one once. That's the sign of a good interviewer there. He knew it. He didn't even.
Shit!
He didn't even. He thought, I can't lie. I can't. I have to tell the truth.
I'm not going to tell you my lap dancing story because it involves another person.
Okay. But well, I hope so. Can you give yourself a lap dance? Is that? I mean, it's. Hey, that's just masturbating. That's just having a wank.
No, I've never been to a lap. I've been to one where. Do you know, not where a lady comes out with no clothes on?
Right.
And you look at her shiny torch on her. Or whatever. From the past.
Yeah.
Different times. But I was with someone in Montreal who you really wouldn't imagine would ever, ever, ever be near. There was the middle of the day.
Alan Carr. That's my guess.
I'll leave it there. Okay. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Hasn't it?
So. Yeah. It's been fun. We've had a lot of fun. Shall we talk about you being a serious novelist now for a bit?
Oh, yes.
Can we talk? I really enjoyed your book. I loved your autobiography, which we talked about last time, which is absolutely fantastic. And as you said, has gone through the roof and sold 1 billion copies.
100 billion copies.
It's fantastic. And rightly so. It's very good. But then what made you decide to... Because it's very different, and we were talking about backstage, but it's very different writing about yourself and then choosing to write a novel. It's still a very funny novel, and it's still very Bob Mortimer novel, but it's a different beast.
It was just how... You know, it's finding things age-appropriate sometimes. You have to get your head around that. I'm older than you, Richard, but, like, when I did the autobiography, I thought it really felt the right... You know, I just sit on the settee doing it, watch the telly. 90 Day Fiancé, I'm on season 8 now. Has anyone watched it? What a show, Richard. Fuck, man, it's good. But I thought, this really suits me. I wonder if any publisher would take a... I'd kind of got into that sitting on the sofa, so I gave it a go.
Yeah.
And you're the first person that I, you know, not from the publishers or whatever, that's read it.
Yeah.
So I was very scared, but you've said you were all right with
it. I really enjoyed it, and it's, you know, it's sort of a weird thing when you read a book by someone you know a bit, and it's and you're, and it's sort of a, and what I like about, I mean, I like it. What I like about it is it's sort of about you if you hadn't got into comedy, I think, isn't it? It's sort of about a guy who works as a legal man. He's studied as a legal man. Anyhow, he's not very happy in his job, which I imagine you weren't very happy in your job. And there's things in the book that I know have happened to you.
Yeah.
So it's sort of... And then it's a thriller and it's a crime story and there's you know, murder or is there and there's people...
Yeah.
There's
did you
people.
Think it was exciting?
I did. By the time, you know, to begin with... I did. And the mark, I think, of it is when you sort of... You're not thinking about... person writing it when it's someone when you know the person, and once you get into the story, I was engaged in the story and I was trying to work out what was happening. You know, there's various possibilities as to who's good and bad, and but it's, you know, it's very funny, and it's very funny in a Bob Mortimer way, but it's a thrilling book with a, you know, with a beginning, middle and end. You can't ask for more. I think it's so hard writing a novel. I think it's so hard to write. I've wanted to write novels, but I think it's such a big, it's a big leap. We were talking backstage about the different ways of writing a novel, whether you plan it out or whether you just go for it. And did you just sort of have an idea and run?
Well,
with the idea?
Like I was saying to you, I literally did a search, like how do you plot a book or how do you write a kind of general search.
Yeah.
And I saw this thing that said I don't know, America, Western Europe, or whatever. That you plot it out. I don't know if this is factual, but this was so. And then it had this little thing that excited me because it said, but the French way of doing it is to just start writing and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, that suits me. And that's, you know, that's just, Some people have that brain where that slightly more mathematical thing going on. They need to know. I quite liked surprising myself. Oh, fuck, that could happen.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wanted the book to put me in situations and do what I would never do. See if that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, like it all starts off with me meeting that girl. I would never have met that girl. I would never have had the bottle to go up and meet her.
Sure.
And, of course, she changes my life kind of thing. So it's just fun being another person, but being me.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's Bob Mortimer, who didn't become a successful comedian, still working in that job. And I mean, because there's a story in there about, which I think happened to you, didn't it, about the mortgage not being signed and you having to send someone around to get it signed?
That
happened to you, didn't it?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Okay.
No.
No, okay.
I've no memory of that.
You've chosen a subject. It's called the Satsuma Complex, we should say.
Yes.
Which is because there's a book within the book that's called.
Do you know what that was?
What? Just,
that was me. Like, I don't read much. But I read the, is it Murakami? I can't think of his first name. Hirito Murakami. I like his books.
Okay.
And I've got titles like that. Right. And when I first started it, I thought, I'm going to write a book that's better than his. And then, and then after, you're not. But then the title was there.
Yeah.
And then you'll know that, in a funny way, the book that's in... being read in the book becomes central to everything.
Yeah.
And that's as it were, my... Yeah. That's...
And it's a fun... But it's a fun... It's a kind of Bob Mortimer funny to be... You're kind of interested in Satsumas.
Well, I think they can be delightful, but they can sometimes surprise you, can't they, with their tartness.
Yeah.
Or a certain floweriness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. They're an unpredictable fruit. And also, they can turn out to be a slightly different fruit. If you think you've got a Satsuma and you've got a clementine.
You've got a fucking tangerine, worse than that, I really like a nectarine.
Yeah.
If you can get a ripe one, which isn't easy. It's not easy.
No.
Do you know what I mean, though? Goes in, ready to eat, just tuck in, lad. Perfectly ripe. Go on, off you go.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I like this. Well, I prefer the Satsuma because the skin comes off properly and easily. It's like, it's sort of slightly baggy, like an old man's face.
Did you say an old man's face?
Yeah. You can just put your thumb in and it all comes off. Whereas a nectarine is sometimes too tight, isn't it?
A nectarine can be very tight.
And there's a lot of work.
Like a younger man's head.
Like taking the face off a young man. So I prefer the older man's head. I like it. I like it because it's in your voice and it's got its very own voice. And I think if you weren't Bob Mortimer and this... Again, we were talking backstage about... I think people, not novelists and the publishers and the people in the publishing industry and the posh end of the publishing industry might be snooty about comedians. But they generally are about comedians writing anything out of their...
Yeah.
You know, all the comedians writing kids' books and all the, you know, people don't like it.
Yeah.
But I think if this came out and nobody knew who you were, I think it has that very individual feel that I think people go, "Wow, this is an amazing way to write a novel," because you've written it from a very Bob Mortimer point of view. I think.
Yeah, I mean, it gives it a voice. I don't. Yeah. I think I have to accept those criticisms that you know it only exists because your name's on the front of it. But it's okay. It gives it a voice, and that's half the battle, isn't it?
It is. You can got a voice, and also people will buy. You know, people will buy it because it's you, and so that's not a bad. I mean, that's not a bad thing for the publishing industry. Yeah. So people, you know, I don't think people should be like that. I understand it, and my wife's a children's author, and I know children's authors can be upset about lots of people muscling in and writing children's books that aren't as good as the proper children's books. That sell lots of copies. I can't think who I'm thinking
of.
Have
you written it? Now, hold on. I don't know. Who are we talking about?
Well, it's sort of everyone. I think comedians do okay with kids' books because we've got a sort of childish mind, so I don't think it's that bad a fit. But I think people don't like anyone coming in on their turf. And people like to box people in and say, you're doing this. It's still, it's you writing a funny book, which is what you've done before.
Yeah.
And it's a slightly different format. But you've always done this throughout your career. You've always gone from... one thing to the next and not worried too much about it and sort of mastered it. You've done sitcoms, you've done panel shows.
I got caught out doing the acting thing.
Yeah.
But you know, you give it a bash, you know.
You're still a good actor. I know you find it difficult to be serious, but you give things a go, and that's great. It's genuinely a really good book. I don't need to talk it up. People will buy it anyway, and they'll won't they? They'll buy it because it's you.
So I'll put that on the front of the book, Richard. When you paint your windows, Richard, yeah. Do you use gloss or emulsion or just leave the glass see-through? It's just a bit of fun.
It's good, so do buy it. And, you know, it is that... Your character sort of talks to squirrels, has conversation with squirrels, but isn't very good at talking to girls.
Yes, that was one of the same things. Once I'd realised I wasn't Murakami,
yeah.
And that I could write, as it were, I found that the really difficult bits of those internal monologues,
yeah.
That's tricky. It just sounds awful. So I thought, well, I'll just talk to a squirrel. And it just, you know, it made it easier.
Yeah.
You know, he can say, what are you thinking about? Why do you look like that? Yeah, you know.
They should put one in every novel, shouldn't they? They should have a talk. Well, squirrel.
It's quite a short. It's a good shortcut.
Yeah, it is. They should stick them into some existing novels.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's called the Satsuma Complex. Dubai. It's coming out at the end of October.
It is, yeah.
With direct competition
yours
in the bookshelves. Yeah, I'll be out a week before you, so I've got that advantage.
Well, we should co-promote.
We should.
That's what we should do.
Okay.
Yeah, get Sting along. Get him to play a bit of loop music. Yeah. Maybe get something like Fair Trade on board.
Yeah.
Back in it. That might work, mightn't it? Bit of fizz, I don't know.
Right, I'm going to ask you... I've got a new emergency question specially for you.
Oh.
I've invented this one for you, and I'm going to use it, though. I think it's good. I was eating some cheese yesterday, and then that's when this idea came to me for an emergency question.
That's a rolling emergency book.
This is my emergency question book that I'm putting all the best ones in, because I've got too many in different...
Would you ever use it in a genuine emergency, roadside crash? Would you ever run up?
Maybe, yeah.
Or a cardiac arrest on a plane?
Yeah,
or
give it a go.
No, it might help.
I've read a very good book, which is going to be in the book club, might have been already by the time you hear this at home, by Lee Pickett, which is The Life of a Fireman. And he has to sometimes get in the car and hold people's hands and talk to them as they're either, you know, injured or dying.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I'm going to give him a copy of this to try. I think it will... It was very moving. He's a very nice guy. This is my question that's for you. What's the worst cheese that you'd still be prepared to eat?
The worst. I mean, I do love cheese.
Yeah, I love cheese as well. I'll tell you my answer because this is what I said. I was eating some halloumi, which is the best cheese. There's no.
Oh no, Richard.
The best cheese.
I don't even believe it's a cheese. Really?
It's the best. It makes a noise. It's a bit of chili in it. It's delicious.
Well, if you want a noise, eat the bulb off a clown horn. In fact, that's not that far from halloumi, is it?
I think feta cheese, yeah. I'll eat it, but I don't like it.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
I'll eat it if it's there.
Yeah.
I'll eat it, and I'll probably eat all of it, but the last couple of pieces will make me feel quite unwell.
No, I'm with you on that.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've answered that.
I can't try to think of a bad cheese. You know, I used to think the Kraft slices were a bad cheese.
Yeah.
Be a bit snooty about them.
Yeah.
But if you cook some macaroni and just lob endless amounts of them in and stir it, it's delicious as a macaroni cheese. So
every cheese has its place.
I think so. Bad cheese. Let me just give me a second.
I mean, I like...
Oh, I don't like those ones that have got freaking... that look like a cake. They've got bits of date in or...
Yeah, I know you mean.
I don't quite know what they have in them.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of cheddar, which is a terrible thing because that's where I'm from. I eat it, but it's on everything. But it's, I don't find it that.
So that wouldn't be your desert island cheese. I think a lot of people would say that.
They'd probably give you cheddar like the Bible.
No, it's true though, isn't it? You can tell your cheddar's safe. But I mean, my instant reaction for a desert island is Stilton, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
I see Stilton...
Do you like cheese? You said you did. You're like, fucking halloumi.
And Stilton is one of those, it has to be the right moment and then I like Stilton. It's kind of Christmas for Stilton. I don't eat Stilton any other time.
Oh, well.
I like blue cheese, but I still, you know, I'm very xenophobic towards English cheeses. I like cheeses from anywhere else but England.
Do you like that French runny one that says epoisse or posse?
Yeah, I mean, I do like French runny ones.
So very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's very nice cheese. But what was your desert island cheese? I got Stilton.
If it was one, I'd take halloumi with chilli in it, but there'd have to be.
Whoa,
you'd have to be able to griddle it. You've got to griddle it, so I'd have to have fire as well.
But that's like you can have the Bible, or you can have this 1983 Shoot magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take the Shoot magazine. Yeah,
I'll take the Shoot magazine.
Would you?
If it's one with the league table in it, and you can move all the teams around. Those are the only Shoot magazines I bought, because I used to play Sabutio against myself and then move the teams around. It was good.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
If I ever asked you this question, Bob, I don't think I have. I'm going to go back to talking about real stuff in a sec. If you had to do a human centipede with two other people, have I asked you this question?
I don't think so.
You choose the other people in the human centipede, but you're in the middle. Who would you have?
First of all, thank you for the question. Like, thank you for plucking that one out.
Yeah.
You could have asked me, do I wish Sports Direct sold meat? You know what I mean? But no, you're in a human centipede. Richard, man. So I want, I suppose, someone clean up front.
Yeah.
Any of the Canadian 2000 Olympic swimming team. I bet they're clean.
They will be clean.
What happens?
And not
around
a hair
the back?
In the body as well.
Yes, so what happens around the back?
Someone's got their mouth attached to your anus, sewn to your anus.
Whoa, that needs to be an enemy.
It does.
Because I have a particular problems down there. See, that's it. Ooh. Honestly, when you get, it's worse that, you know, go to the doctor and say, oh, I'm depressed, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you say you've hurt something. You say, oh, by the way, I'm a bit not feeling too good or whatever. To say, you know, with this stigma with it, I'm not, my wife will kill me if I talk about this. Let's stop that. It's not my role to get rid of the stigma of that area.
The problem is everyone's imagining something worse than whatever it is there, Bob. I think that's the problem. But
I mean, I'm tempted because I'm obsessed.
Yeah. We can come back to it. We'll move on. Hey, look, thank you very much for having me on Gone Fishing.
Richard's on Gone Fishing on Friday.
Yeah.
And it's Do you like Gone Fishing, or do you think it's a box of shit? I wouldn't have thought it would be. You can be honest, Richard.
I
wouldn't
love
have thought.
I like it because it's just it's beautifully shot, and and it's just two mates messing around and having fun, and it's just there's something very calming and lovely about it. I think everyone loves it, don't they? It's an amazing show, and it's and it is anyone in the family can enjoy that.
That's right.
As well, there's nothing.
It's family friendly.
There's nothing.
You can call your buffalo in.
Yeah.
Cockroaches.
There's me talking about my balls in it, but apart from that, it's family friendly. But yeah, I think it's and what I was impressed with coming down. Hey, we went to a beautiful. You were just in a little gatehouse sort of thing.
Yeah.
This amazing stately home by the Thames. But what was impressive and what you don't see very often on TV is the whole team behind that show, all the people working on it, adore you, like love you. And
me
love
or Paul?
You and Paul. And love working on the show. And they're so happy. I think the only other show that's like that that I've experienced is that.
Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Taskmaster's so lovely. The atmosphere there is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, you feel like all the people working on both those shows, if they just said, we can't pay you anymore, we'll still come in and do it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think that I talked to a few of the runners and producers and different people, and they were all exactly the same, and they loved it, which is, you know, and after as many series you've done, that's a real testament. People want to work on it still, and it's their kind of dream job.
It's nice, isn't it? You've done so much, like 30-odd years, Richard, like... I don't know. I just sorry my ignorance, but I don't know what you're doing it now. But doing a telly show without any script or prep,
yeah.
Which in terms of when you do Taskmaster, you have no idea what's going to happen, do you?
No.
There is a certain sort of magic and collective like will for it to. There isn't all the angst about scripts and this and it, no that it, yeah. It's a very refreshing show to do, and we should do one.
Right.
About bin men? About go around with bin men?
You tell me what to do. You're the king of the herring, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. So if you want to do that, I don't even mind going at the back on the human centipede. If it comes to it.
I wasn't looking for a compliment for Gone Fishing, but yes, you did it, and it was great. It's a really lovely show.
Yeah, and it was such fun to do it. And, it, you know, I was in and out very quickly.
Yeah, you fucked off like a kite, didn't you?
I was told to fuck off. They told me, hey, fuck off. We've got a lovely night planned. You obviously enjoy it, and
I love it.
It is a dream job for you guys as well as the crew.
Yeah, because Paul loves fishing. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah,
and I irritate him a bit, and but it's that unique combination that he's quite feisty and testy, Paul, but he's a lovely, lovely man, and that's a great combination. Sometimes it's good, you know, you don't want. Just lovely man.
Yeah.
Legal man, lovely man. That's lovely. And we didn't know that was there.
No, but also it's interesting. I mean, you both obviously have worked in loosely or strongly as sort of double act. And I think if you were putting a double act together, you wouldn't say, shall we take the two nicest ones and see how they get on? Because you would think you'd need some conflict or one to be... You know, high status and low status, but you're sort of equal status in it. I mean, except he can fish and you can't fish.
I can't fish. It's interesting though, like because in when not wanting to pry into your double act, I'm not going down the line, but the double act thing is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a compromise? Is one willing to be the feed? One willing to be where does that? And me and Paul. We were both very aware that we were lucky with the two people we attached ourselves to. So we got very comfortable being number twos, genuinely. You know, fucking, honestly, you know, like, we often talk about it. But I think it did, but I think it's, unbeknownst to us, two number twos is all right.
It is.
Shit, it would be all right. With my ass.
But also, I think it's, you were both... you're sort of both, because you came sort of into Vic, Jim's stuff, and, you know, with Harry and Paul, it was, you know, Harry was the star. Yeah. But in both cases, I think, you know, you came around the inside track and, you know, more than showed your worth to both of you. I think with Paul, he is so talented and he was so amazing at all those characters that he did in all of those shows. I went back and watched, I think the Harry Enfield shows on
Netflix. They're really good, aren't they?
They're still amazing, it really stands up, and he's so good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you're both very modest, perhaps, and you both kind of think, oh, that the other person is... And they're both... I'm not saying Harry and
giants.
Mick are not giants. They're fantastic as well. But you both more than held your own.
Were you equal with... My memory is... in the general double act way... I think of you as you were absolutely equal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not in terms of the amount of work we put in, maybe, but it's... I think we're both, you know, I think if anything, I was sort of more the funny one, but we were both funny. I think it was sort of like, it wasn't quite straight man, funny man, but I was the sillier one of the two, I suppose.
But you were both funny guys,
yeah,
weren't
you? So he was funny as well. You
know? I mean, Newman and Badil... Sorry, I missed that. Fuck! What was it?
I just said he was.
Newman and Badil.
Yeah.
Maybe there was just like a preference. I think at the time, I probably would have said, oh, is he called Michael Newman?
Rob. let's call him Michael Newman. Rob Newman, yeah. I mean, I think at the time it felt like... I mean, Rob was both the kind of, you know, the one that the young women flocked to more than perhaps David. I don't think you'd mind me saying that. But I think also he was, you know, but I think like that it's interesting seeing people over the... That's an interesting case over the course of a career. They're both carrying on working. They're both working. But, you know, David's probably had the better of it in terms of...
Like, where's a nice fella, isn't he?
He is.
At the end of the day.
He is.
Because you two were... Me and Jim were the daft ones.
Yeah.
You two, the gorgeous ones. And Newman and Badil were the successful ones. It's something like that, isn't it?
Well, I think people felt we... Because we sort of came just a couple of years after Newman and Badil. I think people felt that we were trying to emulate Newman and Badil, which we weren't. I think we were much more of a double act. Newman and Badil weren't really a double act except in the History Today sketches, which were fantastic. Yeah. And they tended to do separate stuff.
Yeah.
But we were more of a double. I think, you know, you guys were... Again, I think yours kind of evolved into being a double act from being like a one-man show with you.
No, I was just a feed man at the beginning. It just helped Vic do more if he had someone to bounce. You know, like, I was purely... I didn't have a funny line to say at all, but... are you looking forward to the Steve Coogan, Jimmy Savile film?
It'd be interesting to see. Well, you know, this again is a case where if it was, I think because some people think if someone who's a comedy person does something serious, then that's somehow not taking the subject seriously, right? And it seems a great actor, and it's an interesting choice. But now then, I could have done it. Now then.
Are you looking forward?
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm quite looking forward to the one about Richard III in the car park. I'm looking forward to that.
You prefer car parks to...
I've seen a play about Jimmy Savile with Alistair McGowan playing him, and he was very good. And I've seen documentaries about Jimmy Savile, and I kind of am a bit... Like, I don't really want...
You saddled out.
I don't really want to see it. He's pretty fucking horrible, isn't he?
Yeah, it's horrible stuff.
And I don't know if I want to see any more of it, really, because I feel like I've got the idea. And,
okay. Are you looking forward to the new Minions? Because I'm afraid that's all that's coming out next year. It's Minions. Let's stop talking about this.
Let's stop talking.
I always bring
along... You got your joke book.
My joke book.
Thank you.
Do you want me to read anything out from your joke
book? I would love you to, yeah. Don't do anything you did last time, though.
I have no... this is an old joke. This is all there is.
Okay.
So it could well be...
It was funny, so we can have the same one again.
I bet it was. I bet I read that one out. I think that I probably did. You know that if you fart and
Let's make the go listen to the last year's one to get that one. If you haven't heard that one yet, go to last year.
What about this one?
Yeah.
Bloke applied for a job at the circus. What can you do? Asked the owner. Really good bird impressions. Sorry, we've got someone who does that already. Oh, well, said the bloke as he flew out of the tent.
I think all of that, that's funny right from the beginning. Everything about that is funny. Like a bloke going to the circus. What can you do? I love that being the way you get in the circus. And the bloke, you know, oh, I'm going to give you a try. What can you do? This is how we get our act. Very good.
I won't do anything.
No. I'm going to ask you another question. Oh, I've got to ask you this. This is.
Do interviews like this have to be question-based? Could there ever be an interview where you didn't ask a question? It could happen, couldn't it?
Of course, yeah. We don't have to have questions.
Don't ask me
a
question.
But you just asked me a question, and so there was a question straight away.
Yeah, but that was backstage. Now
we don't have to have questions, but, you know, I've got a question.
What about insult? Do you know, I'm just, you know, like, yeah. It's a, hi there, Bob. Fuck, you've put weight on it. That's not a question, is it?
No.
I'm on steroids.
Okay.
In my mid-twenties, yeah. I got struck down with rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Just woke up, bang. And I've been free of it since I was about 34. And I came back 10 days ago. It's really sad for me. I'm not.
And, sad for us all.
To know whether it will go. So why did I start asking about this? Because you called me a fat fat. I might be fat, but actually I'm on steroids.
Okay. I'm sorry for bringing it up now.
Look at you with all your hair. Mr. Game of Thrones.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Question.
Do you watch? It's going to be hard to get through this.
I've watched the new one, House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Thought it was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Thought it was all right. There's not much plot.
It's quite slow. It's quite slow. You've got to sort of stick with it and then, yeah.
That's sometimes quite nice.
There's a lot of incest in it. Is that your... Do you like that bit of it? Do you like the incest?
I'm not bothered. No. What I'm doing at the moment, because I don't like doing anything,
yeah.
Is, do you know Walter Presents on Channel 4?
No.
Where they show all the successful series from Ukraine, Bulgaria, wherever. I'm just working my way through them.
Okay.
And it's not a bad idea. Up to now, it's doing all right.
Okay. You're a big... you love watching TV. That's basically what you like to do.
Yeah, that's my addiction.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be addicted to helping people. To raising money for people in difficult circumstances. Daft lads. Now it's the TV.
Yeah.
Different. You know, I'm going to get knocking on a bit. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I watch the telly. Do you know those Marks and Spencer snacks that one's like a wagon wheel, one's like a pipe, one's like a shell?
They come in a tin or
no,
in a
they're
box.
In a packet. I like
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And they've brought out a jalapeno flavour.
Okay.
I like looking at my phone.
I like looking at my phone.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Got it.
Do you get the weekly report on your phone, Bob?
Yeah.
How many hours a day do you watch?
I think, because I kind of... Oh, I think I'm at about 5 hours. Is that terrible?
No, not as bad as me.
What are you
Mine's
on?
Mine's like, you know, double figures. I don't know if it includes everything, like the computer.
But shit, Richard, that's your living day.
I know.
You have to stop that. I once went to a building in Kent, in rural Kent, and a man was building something. I thought, what are you up to? It's middle of nowhere, so I thought, it can't be student accommodation. Doesn't look like industry or commerce or anything. So I approached someone on the site, and it turned out he was building a rehab centre in anticipation of people being addicted to their phone.
Yeah, I probably am addicted to my phone.
So I don't know whether it happened. But no, I'm honestly, I don't know whether that happened.
Was it in the shape of a phone that they used?
So, yeah, that was an interesting moment. A really beautiful bit of Kent.
Yeah.
I know that in the past there'd been one of them murders nearby. If you go to Gloucester, do you always visit the Fred West Street? Do you always visit?
I haven't been. I used to, when I was driving, when I used to live in Shepherd's Bush, if I was driving back from the south, I'd always drive past Jill Dando's house.
That's okay.
Just as a little thing to do.
Yeah, that's okay.
But, you know, I might have seen a clue or something.
No, I know you're trying to help. Yeah. Shit. Shit, I do realise.
It's, you know, it's an interesting... I have never been to Fred West's house, though.
You've never been?
No. It's not there anymore, is it?
It's really ominous. It's gone.
Yeah.
But you can see where the wall of it joined the... So anyway, so...
Should we go back to questions?
Is there safety in the questions?
There's not. It's just I'm interested in your answers. I think this question, in any other normal guest, would create an interesting psychological study where we'd learn something about them. I don't think it will happen for you. If you could go into a chrysalis, like you were a caterpillar, but you're Bob Mortimer... and then in the chrysalis, you can change into anything you want, and you can come out like the caterpillar comes out as a butterfly. I don't know if you know.
Right.
You can choose what you come out as. It can be anything.
It's a bit contrived.
What would, what would you?
Would I like to be something else?
What would you? What would you turn into?
I've always fancied. I wonder what life is like. If you're like born 6'4", rugby league, massive, strong man.
Yeah.
First up, that's interesting. I wonder what that life's like.
Okay. We got into good psychology with Bob as well. I would love that as well.
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I think like it bothered me for a long time that I was small.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bother me anymore. But yeah, because it's one of those things as well. If you look on dating sites and stuff, like it's. There's a height restriction that women put in, isn't there? That often would exclude you or I.
Well, how tall do you say you are?
Well, I'd not really ever had to do them because they came out. So that sort of thing more or less came in after I was with my wife.
But, I'll put it another way. What height are you?
I say I'm 5'7", right. But I'm under 5'6.5".
I think that's acceptable. Do you know, I saw a documentary, and you'll find it easy. It's very interesting. They got together all the people who say they're 6'7" or 6'8", and in that area, measured them all properly, and none of them were as tall as they thought they were.
Right. Were so any of them 5'6.5"?
Yeah. Yeah, they were little shrimps. No, I'm 5'7.5".
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Well, your character in your novel that says he's 1.5 inches smaller or 2 inches smaller than the
national average. Which is 5'10", right. Is it? Maybe.
I think probably 5'9", 5'10" for a man, I guess. I don't know.
What position would you have taken in the circus? Because everyone here is thinking, lion tamer. You've got that look.
The thing I loved about the circus when I went was the clowns. I loved the clowns.
Great, weren't they?
Straight away. And that was... And I wanted to be a clown when I was 4 years old.
But they've become scary now, haven't
they? Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably were scary. I remember being scared of the circus. I have a memory of a circus, and I remember nothing about it apart from being outside of the circus and scared about something.
Yeah.
And my dad, I think, walking me around the outside of the tent. Yeah. That's my only memory of going to the circus is being scared of something in the circus.
It was an amazing feeling, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What would you think? Do you think a coconut shy would be a useful addition to every single service station on the motorway? I think it would be. You'd stop at, if it said KFC, Costa, so-and-so, coconut shy.
Yeah.
Well, stop at that one. It's free.
And the coconuts, if you hit one off, you get it.
You get a coconut, yeah. That's the one you're stopping at, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you got an air fryer? You're not bothered?
I'm not bothered, although, you know, we've got, don't you get a lot of gizmos and then they just end up in a cupboard somewhere?
That's been my experience, but yeah. this air fryer thing.
Yeah.
If you want to get a ninja knife, a good one.
Yeah.
At the moment, they're 500 quid on eBay. It's the only place you can get them because people are chasing them because of the energy savings.
Okay, yeah.
I'm very interested in them. Just wondered if you had one.
I don't have one.
Very good for chips. If you get a 9 litre, you can actually cook a chicken. So I think we're all agreed 9 litre it is. Fucking hell. It's great with Richard because I don't think he gives a fuck anymore. And because it's very difficult to see something real anymore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just saying, not being poncy, like, oh, great. But it is one of... How do you find... The UFC's pretty real, you know, the MMA stuff.
Do I have what, sorry?
Do you know, the UFC's quite real. So I think Richard Herring's podcast and the UFC are the only real things... available in the world of entertainment. Yeah, take
might
that.
Be, might be so. That's very nice of you. Thank you. I don't know what the UFC is.
You know, those people, they go in a cage and they kick shit out of it.
Okay, that's pretty real. Yeah, you know, this is what it is. And I'm not quite sure what it is, but it is it. It is it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. And it's different every time.
We'll know what it is when we've escaped.
And all I know is it's fucking going on a long time. I mean, you know, in year terms, I mean...
Have we been on here a year? I'm so sorry. Do you know Milky Drink?
Milky Drink.
Weak Orange Drink.
Yeah.
What series was that from?
It was Weak Lemon Drink. It was from Fist of Fun and a little bit from this morning, which not you, but Simon Quinn, like it was Kevin Eldon, the actor Kevin Eldon playing Simon.
Kevin, yeah.
And it was something Stew, I think it came from something from Stew's school that someone at his school would talk about drinking Weak Lemon Drink.
There were good times though. But what a great show. It's gone now and you think, fuck it. But then there's people wandering around like me thinking, what a great show. But it was, am I right in thinking it was like on at one on a Sunday?
Oh, that was so This Morning with Richard Not Judy, which came after. So we did two series of Fist of Fun, which got sort of messed around a bit. And then This Morning with Richard Not Judy was on at 12:30, I think, on a Sunday. And then they sometimes repeated it on Friday before The Simpsons or after The Simpsons. But then often they didn't bother.
There was good times because I don't watch too much comedy these days. But when I see a bit of, I suppose you mostly see stand-up, I'll come across it. It's like, it feels very, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, I don't mean there's anything wrong with it, but it's very different. There's a lot of people like wanting a narrative and a topic.
Yeah.
And that sort of feeling that when they leave the stage that people will be saying, he's a clever bloke. And I don't mind it, but I'm only thinking because you're here, Richard. I think like when I think of those times, it was just that was it. I think you wanted people to finish watching and say they're fucking stupid. No, but because it's the most precious thing, I don't think you wanted people to say, yeah.
That's the kind of. I mean, it is. As I get older, I realise the kind of comedy that I think is the best comedy and the most long-lasting comedy is the really fucking stupid stuff. And that's what people love and remember. And as much as I do like people like Bill Hicks, I sort of think my desert island comedy would be you guys, Morecambe and Wise, that kind of Morecambe and Wise.
Yeah, Tommy Cooper and stuff.
Yeah, the stupid stuff. Rick Mayall's my absolute hero. Yeah. His stuff was just stupid. It was like really stupid, mostly.
Yeah. No, and you could say, you know, like from Kevin Turvey.
Yeah.
But I think everything he did, just in terms of that little test, he wanted you to, he wanted to leave with the feeling he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And like so many, I feel like why don't you? Do you know when you see a lot of sets? I always think you can see the rhythms where they say, "I've got a very funny bit, so I'll just spread them." out every 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. And I'm so desperate when I say, why don't you just do those really funny bits? No, it sounds like I'm being cut. When I was young, if you went to see Tommy Cooper or whatever, the Fiesta Club, say in Stockton, I don't know if you know, they did 20 minutes, then there was other acts, and then they did 20 minutes. So it was okay just to be funny.
Yeah.
Now they see... To do the hour and a half, there's got to be more than just laughs, haven't there?
But I think a little bit. And I think some people have an eye on like winning prizes or getting reviews and stuff. Yeah. And that can be a way to go. But I think the job is to make people laugh and make people happy. And that, you know, it's, I think that, you know, especially now, I think people want to go out of the theatre having had a catharsis of laughter, you know, and not even sure what they laughed at. But, that's what you've always done, though, isn't it? That's your stuff.
But it's just interesting, these last 30 years, like, it was the Bill Hicks theme that won.
Yeah.
You won it?
I guess a little bit, but I think comedians who tried to be cool, and Bill Hicks was a little bit trying, but I'd love to see Bill Hicks now and see what he was doing now. And he was playful and did loads of stupid stuff as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
And he's remembered, you know, because he died, he's remembered in this reverent way. But I think he was trying to be cool. And I sort of, in the end, I think comedians shouldn't try to... Shouldn't be cool people. They could be cool by being uncool, but I don't think they should be cool.
Well, each to their own. I think the young ones are terrific. Ramesh, he's terrific fun, isn't he?
Yeah.
James Acaster. It's like you've got to be open to it, haven't you? Because, I didn't know James was, or when I worked with James, whatever. He's hilarious. And his fellas, he's a nice fellow, sorry, pardon me, who Ed Gamble.
Yeah.
They've just got...
I've got a friend, I love it, I'm just joking.
I apologise, shall I get my joke book out?
You're allowed, but see, the problem is, when you do more than an hour, Bob, you need a little serious bit in the middle before you go back to the joke. So it just happens, you fall into it naturally. I think with this show, it's very interesting. You do, however knockabout and funny someone is, that will always, about this point, will always have a little moment of reflection.
What time is it into the show?
We are, we're doing all right. We're an hour and 5 in. We might have to stop in a bit.
Fuck, so that's where it gets tricky.
Well, I used to do I used to talk to people for an hour and a half and hour 45 sometimes, and you can't, you get to, this audience we have here is very good, and they're hanging on every word.
Yeah.
Like children would. they're lovely people, and they're very good comedy. I get a very good comedy audience, and they equally will listen to stuff. I think that's why when you do a long show and you get lots of laughs, when you get this, what we've got now, which is proper silence... Sort of embarrassing.
It's kind of like yogurt. You know, something that's fermenting. Yeah. Could go either way.
But
I don't know.
But proper silence is better than a little bit of...
Yeah.
You know, so, getting proper silence is... You can get a kick out of it as much as the...
Yeah.
Head throwing back laughter.
No, and you're right, Richard, and I've learned that quite late in life, funnily enough, because, when I did Gone Fishing, all I could judge it from my previous experience was, have you said anything that might be considered funny? And then, but we didn't do anything funny in the first couple of series and so on. And then, and I got caught. Yeah, it's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's okay. For oldies. I think, I don't think a young un should gob on too much. They should just be hilarious.
Yeah, but there are a lot of great, there's a lot of comedians now, and there weren't as many comedians when you and I were starting out.
Yeah,
And there's sort of professional comedians, and there weren't really any professional comedians when we were starting.
Yeah.
And you didn't get into comedy in order to have a 35-year career.
No,
as a comedian.
What would you have been if you hadn't been a comedian?
I think a teacher. Teacher. All my family are teachers.
All your family are teachers?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much everyone.
Teachers of lions. It is a mane of hair, and I'm very jealous. I'm not bothered. My son cut my hair today. That's quite an intimate thing for a 26-year-old to do, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah?
Nice if your son's, you know, that into you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where he's into me. In that sense. Big jug of water. You've got a thirst on you.
They've given me a big jug. Give me a big jug. I've got to think of the car ride home. If I drink all of that, I'm going to be in trouble on the drive home.
Yeah. Do you drive home from
this?
Yeah,
I do, yeah.
But you're not on such a high that you break the law and speed and...
I'm not saying that I don't go pretty fast in my e-golf. It's more. I'm more scared about falling asleep than
at the wheel.
Yeah, especially after reading this book by the fireman where he gets in and holds people's hands.
So can I help in any way?
I'm fine. Are you healthy, Bob? Is everything going all right?
No, I'm not very well. I'm not very healthy at the moment. No.
And are you keeping up a healthy lifestyle after your heart troubles?
Well, I sit more or less perfectly still all day, so I figure in nature that's one of the safest things, isn't it? So you never know, I might be okay.
Yeah.
But, it's tricky. I did a show last week, did a fishing show.
Yeah.
So that's only 2.5 days filming, and I did it Tuesday, Wednesday, half of Thursday, and I was in hospital on the Saturday, you know, with the... Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
It's all right.
A real downer, though, isn't it?
It's not a downer. It's...
So, yeah. I think because I was a smoker and an incredibly fast runner and a very dramatic dancer, and I put that all into my younger years, so I think... I'm about 10 years ahead of myself in terms of my body aging.
Sure.
Have you seen the Michael Flaherty film?
I've seen the trailer. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah, I've only seen the trailer. But, you know, he's put his body through some shit, hasn't he? And he might, I don't know how old he is, 60, but he might be similar. He might actually be 70 inside.
But inside.
I put it down to the dancing. I love to dance, and I'm not ashamed that I spent all those hours dancing.
That's good.
I loved it.
And you played football. You're nearly a professional footballer.
Yeah. But it's the truth.
You must have been pretty fit.
Yeah, I was fit then. Yeah. But you could do anything then, couldn't you? I said to my son, he's 26, and he cuts hair. I said to my son, Tom, could you run a marathon now? £10,000, could you run a marathon now? And he said, I think you can when you're 26.
Yeah.
I think you probably could.
I mean, you could do it. It wouldn't be...
Oh, it'd be terrible. Yeah, but I think you could do it.
Yeah.
I once walked, I think it was 12 to 17 miles, can't quite remember, from Crimden Dean, which is near Hartlepool, to Newcastle overnight to see the debut of a film, Tommy, the rock opera.
Yeah.
And that's quite a long way, 12 to 17 miles, isn't it? But you could do it then, you're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever walked 12 to 17 miles?
I probably have. I mean, I've run a marathon once, so I've run 26 miles.
Shit, what sadness was in your life to make that?
I was quite sad. I sort of did it because I didn't mind. I thought it might be quite a good way to die without upsetting my mum too much.
Mid-marathon?
Yeah, well, if you die in a marathon, then you go, oh, you know, that was... It wouldn't matter if you... Yeah. It's better than, you know, taking your own...
One of my jokes in my joke book,
yeah,
I think, has a similar phrase in it, which was... it's what I've just... If you bear with me...
I will.
But not too long. Just say, fuck off, Bob. It's... I always told my dad his pride would be the death of him. Sure enough, today he was eaten by his favourite lion. That's not quite it. I can't remember. There is one that says it's what he would have wanted. Fucking hell. Do you have a fleece or not?
I think I did used to have a fleece, but I don't have one anymore.
They are an incredibly warm garment. I know you don't look great. I've learnt a lot. There's no all the fishing people that say there's no all the fishing people say there's no such thing as cold weather, just inappropriate clothing.
Yeah.
And there is some incredible clothing out there. Have you ever been tempted towards the ultra warm clothing?
I've got a very nice coat. I've got a quite thick coat that is very warm, and I've been wearing a jumper in. I've got a like a jumper, but not a jumper, sweatshirt kind of thing that I've been wearing to bed for the last couple of nights.
Right. Are you doing a beat the tariffs approach?
Yeah, I'm trying not to.
I'm trying it. I'm trying it, but I put the radiators on last night. It seemed easy this last about 3 weeks. Yeah, we can do this. We had duvets and that. But it's getting a bit chillier now, isn't it?
They've timed it so it's going up on October the 1st. That's when you start turning everything on, isn't it? They're not stupid.
So what will you do? You've got children. You can't have them freezing.
It's so expensive to heat my house. It's unbelievable. It's from 1702, my house. So we've got a fireplace so I can do some fires.
Yeah, that's okay.
But, it's very hard to get it warm.
So, oh, Jesus Christ, these poor children.
Yeah.
You all sleep in the same bed?
Yeah, we could do.
You could do that, couldn't you? My mum used to have electric blankets. Were you brought up in a house where the windows would ice over and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
So we had these electric under blankets.
Yeah.
And they were very good.
Yeah, but that was a real thing. I was thinking, my wife mentioned that the other day, and her grandma had them, and my granddad and grandma in Linthorpe had them.
Do you remember the art college in Linthorpe?
I remember driving past it.
Yeah, they knocked that down the other day to build a Lidl. But that's quite a metaphor for the times we live in.
It is.
Art college for a Lidl. Purpose built, you know, with beautiful windows and everything. Yeah. Now it's a Lidl.
Yeah. It's more in keeping with Middlesbrough, to be fair. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you for another hour.
Yeah, sure.
It would be rude. It'd be rude to our next guest, but fuck them. No, it's really lovely to see
Thanks
you, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
No, and your book is fabulous. I genuinely mean it. It's very enjoyable, and I'm very impressed with you. I mean, you're a great writer. What I wonder about you, Bob, is how many other Bob Mortimers there are out there in the world who, if they'd walked into that comedy club, would have and met Vic Reeves, he would have discovered them, and then they would be here. Because if that hadn't happened, you wouldn't be a comedian.
Well, that's kind of what new book is about. Yeah. Really, is what if you had time to, in a way, it's make a different decision, be a bit braver about things, see what happens. Because I'm more at around 60, I've turned off. I don't want anything different to happen, but it takes till you're 60 to realise all the things you could have.
Yeah.
And when your bones start aching, you know, people who put things off say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. You ain't going to do them. You got to do them now.
It's true.
You have to do them now.
It is true.
There's no going back.
But you don't really appreciate being older until you don't understand what it is. You think, oh, I've got, even when I was 40, I've got 40 years left.
Yeah,
you don't have 40 years left.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, mentally, you usually do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we all, even at my age, I think we all feel about 47 in our minds. Yeah. But then your body packs in, and no, you're not doing all those things.
No,
you're not going to do that self build. You're never going to meet Kevin McLeod. I looked at myself in the mirror before I came on, and I thought, these jackets, Kevin McLeod, a lot of people my age wear these. I don't know what we're trying to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
When you said it was like a jumper.
It's not a jumper, it's a sweatshirt, I suppose. It's for Acast who make this, the network this podcast is on, sent me and my wife two sweatshirts and two that they wanted us to wear to promote Acast, but I will never sell out. So thank you for those, but they were quite nice.
Yeah.
We both got one, and we thought about wearing them to pick up the kids from school this afternoon, so we'd both turn up in the exact same gear, but we didn't do it in the end.
I know you're trying to get rid of me, Richard, and I appreciate that. And it takes your time. And I'll But I'd have to say the most disappointing moment for me this evening was when you basically turned your nose up at the air fryer. Because you really did.
I'd get one.
I think you should look into it.
Okay, I'm going to look in. I'll look into it.
Chicken in one side, roast potatoes, sausages in the other.
Yeah.
Bing. There you go, kids.
Okay.
Chicken and roast
potatoes. I've got
an oven. Oh, right, yeah. You've got an oven in your 17th century house.
Yeah.
How long does it take to pump the heat up on the oven? Is it?
I've got a chicken brick. I've still got a chicken brick from Habitat. That's a good way to cook a chicken.
How quick does a chicken brick cook?
You do it in about... You put it in cold, but at 200 degrees.
Yes.
So you do it. It goes pretty quick. It's about an hour and a quarter.
Do you like chicken?
Yeah.
I thought I liked lamb until yesterday.
Yeah.
Chicken's probably best, isn't it?
It is best.
Beef's not all. Have you ever steak? Have you ever had a successful steak?
I used to love steak, but I'm trying to stop eating beef.
Yeah?
Because it's bad for the environment.
Yeah. Carcinogenic if it's burnt, and it can happen.
Yeah,
not in an air fryer. just set the timer. But, honestly, just feel absolutely free to say fuck off, Bob. you know I won't...
I don't want you to fuck off, but I think we might both have to fuck off so that we can do another one of these afterwards.
Okay.
But thank you for coming. Buy Bob's book. Not that I have to. You'll do it anyway, won't you? It's annoying when people are definitely going to buy my book. You going to do that?
Yes.
Not as many people. This is my actual audience. Even if 400 people just bought my book, that would make an enormous difference to me. Whereas Bobby just throws away for every day he gets 400 copies, just throw those out the window.
But with our cold promo.
Yeah, with the promo.
With Sting.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Sting. with Sting, fair trade, and I think a fizzy pop drink free. Yeah. Honestly, we're going to hit them. WH Smith, number 7.
Okay. We'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause. The amazing Bob Mortimer.
Thank you, Richard.
See you next week. Come back next week. You have been listening to Rahalastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Bob Mortimer. Thank you to Scant Regard, who provide the music. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm also indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and all the team from Go Faster Stripe, etc. I'm also indebted to Kathleen McKeegan for her fantastic website, rahalastapur.com, which reminds me which questions I've already asked my guests, and so on. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Go and buy my book. Can I Have My Ball Back? It's coming out very soon.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.